of God this morning. More than conquerors, seven spirits of conquest that we battle in our lives in a spiritual and a unique way that I believe God has to give us liberty over in our lives and in the life of the church in order for us to be fully functional in kingdom work. This morning I want to speak to you from Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 1. Last week we went from Joshua chapter 3 verse 10, and basically it's a parallel, but the word of God said this in Deuteronomy: when the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites we dealt with last week, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations. Listen to what God said. He said, these seven nations are greater and mightier than you. They are. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. I have a problem with that, Pastor. God's a God of mercy. God's a God of grace. God's a God of love. I get all of that, but I believe there are times and seasons in our lives as individuals, families, and as a church when God says you've got to cut that off, because if you don't cut that off, it will kill you. And I pray, God, today that you will move among us, speak into our hearts and our lives, that, God, these spirits that we wrestle with, that they are a present reality in fighting against the church today. That even now, God, you would be glorified, and you would give us spiritual insight and spiritual authority and spiritual recognizance to know when it is that we are to take victory over said spirits, and that, God, you are a God that cares about such things in our lives, and that if we can ever really grasp hold of the spiritual and take hold of the spiritual, God, then what we do in the physical and the earthly will make so much more sin, and we will have power, and we will have authority, and we will have direction, because we are following hard after you in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. It is somewhere right around 1451 BC. Israel has been in captivity for 430 years. I'm speaking to someone this very day that you have been captive to something in your mind, in your spirit, in your body for multiple seasons and years. And God said, I've got to have it. I want it. I need it in order for me to fulfill my calling and my direction for your life. It has now been another 38 years that they have wandered in the wilderness aimless because of their own volition, their own choices, their own mindset. And now it seems that there is just one more major obstacle between them and the promises of God. It is the Jordan River, and it is flood season. But I want to remind you this morning that maybe there's one more obstacle, one more challenge, one more opportunity for God to work and reveal himself as God. And that anything this close to, any promise worth having, worth holding on to, God said that if you will trust him, he will make it worth your every while. Keep your eyes on the faithfulness of God. One more night, one more fight, one more push, one more battle, but I will not stop working in your life until I bring you to the place that I have destined you and your family for, to the help of my son Jesus Christ. If you believe that there's power in the blood of Christ Jesus, go ahead and praise him right now on a Sunday morning in July. God said, keep your eyes on the covenant. If you get too close to the Ark of the Covenant, if you press in too closely, You may pass it on the right or pass it on the left. Don't lose sight of what represents my promise. Keep your vision fixed on the promise of God. Sometimes we press in or try to press past the will of God, and we get ahead of God. And the word said that some, because of earthly revelation, saw grasshoppers, saw themselves as grasshoppers and insignificant and inferior and unresolved. And the word tells us that Joshua sends two spies into Jericho, and it is Rahab the prostitute that hides them. They find favor with her, and one that has been so open with her life and her body and her mind is now guarding and protecting and closing and keeping those that represent the promise of God. And that Rahab begins to testify. She said, We have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea before you. Even the enemy testifies about what God is doing in and among his people. I tell you today, we have a reason to praise. We have a reason to trust God. We have a reason to move forward because God is faithful to every promise. Do you believe it? Amen. God reminds us that the first enemy that we will fight against, that we must take dominion over, is that of the Hittite. That we have a twofold opportunity, that we are to bring it down in the church, we are to bring it down in the congregation, we are to bring it down in God's people, so that God's people are unhindered and they are able indeed to move forward. We also understand that there are times when God speaks to us and says, I need to bring that down, that spirit in your own life. The very name means to make afraid, to intimidate. The Hittites were phobia masters, intimidating by terror. They were known as the sons of terror, night terror. The Hittites worshiped 27 deities, including Ishara, the goddess of bodily pain. Then the second enemy that we discussed last week was the Hivite. And this is the spirit of distorted truth. The word tells us in John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And he is full of grace and truth. Amen. It means, the word Hivite means to live a lie openly. Satan lies. Satan deceives. The Hivites are connected to serpents. They live to deceive, to mislead by a distorted, hear me, impression. I really didn't lie. I just sort of bent the truth a little bit. They lived a false sense of reality. Get this. They derived their pleasure from watching the theater. They were actors. Some people today spend more time with actors than they do in reality. They spend more time watching actors than they spend in reality. They divide and they deceive. But I'm here to tell you today, and this is the key, what we do for the kingdom of God, we must do together. We overcome deception together. We refute the lie together. We stand together and we cross Jordan rivers together. We are a people of truth and we must behave as such. Amen. So finally this morning, God brings us to a third enemy of his people in Joshua and in Deuteronomy. And I believe the spirits of those peoples still fight against us today. And the parasites have a confidence problem. The parasites have a lazy problem. Parasites don't want anything to do with much of anything. They don't want to do anything, and they don't want anyone else to do it either. It is the third enemy of conquest. It is a spirit that has infiltrated the church of the living God. Parasite means small. It sounds remarkably like parasite. It means small and insignificant. It invades the body many, many times without the knowledge of the individual. Parasites attempt to invade the body of Christ, and they disseminate that which leads to small thinking, things that are insignificant, that don't really matter a whole lot in the grand scheme of what God is trying to do. They have a limited vision. They see themselves with little potential. They live a quiet biological existence, just normal, just routine, showing up on Sunday morning but staying out of the way. And this attitude leads to generations of spiritual stagnation and poverty. Somebody's always out to get me. Nobody really cares. I don't mean much to anyone in the body. Parasites, hear me, they not only believe in their own insignificance, but they teach children, their children, to think the same way, to behave the same way. They reproduce small thinkers and yesterday thinkers, and they will reproduce in the church like parasites. It was in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, where we find that Jonathan, Saul's son, the best friend of David, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news came that his father and grandfather had been killed in battle, and his nurse took him up and she fled. And it came to pass that as she made haste to flee, that he fell and he became lame in both feet. You know him as Mephibosheth. He lived with a wrong perception. He was lame in his feet, but he became lame in his mind. We know that David loved Jonathan. They were the best of friends. And the word tells us that David wanted to bless Mephibosheth, bless someone outside of his own bloodline, the bloodline of his best friend. Mephibosheth was growing up with very low self-esteem. Even after David's words of encouragement, listen, he refers to himself as a dead dog. I came to declare to Summerton this morning, to Dora and the surrounding area and all the communities that are represented here, that we must break that mentality in our own lives, that so-and-so doesn't care about me, that I don't measure up, that I'm not really worth anything to them. That is a lie from hell itself. We are one body made up of one mind, the mind of Jesus Christ the Lord, and you matter, and I matter, and most of all, we matter together for the kingdom of the Almighty God. The word said in Joshua chapter 1, God spoke to Joshua, "I've not forgotten you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, even as I said it unto Moses." In other words, you establish kingdom authority in your life. Parasite believers are unaware of their spiritual authority to judge. The word says, "Judge not that you be not judged." I know that. But we're also to judge spiritual matters. We're told to judge what is right and true, what is godly, what is filled with hope. And so therefore, people become as spiritual cripples to God. They are unable to walk in his judgments. How do you listen to what they say? Really pay attention over the course of time, what it is that dominates their conversation. If they have victory during revival, during conference, during youth camp, during camp, if they have revival on one particular Sunday, on one particular morning, but in essence they go right back out and just a few weeks later or months or a year later or 15 months later, it's that same old negative, poor, woeful is me. That is the behavior that begins to mark who they really are in their world. walk with God. The word tells us that Mephibosheth, stay with me this morning, was 5 years old when he was dropped. Some people I'm talking to this morning, you've been dropped in church. You've been dropped out of church. But the word tells us that five is the number of grace. That there are five ministries given to man. So in other words, wherever you have been dropped in your life, God has some grace for you. If you can't praise him for anything else, those places where you fell, those places where you've been dropped, but God kept you by his grace, would you lift your hands right now and would you shout out loud, God, thank you for your grace in my life. Lift your hands and your voice and worship him and praise him today. Let God pick you back up. I'm speaking to some people in the house today. Nobody dropped you. No one let go of you. You blamed this person and that person all of your life, and no one really dropped you. You just fell. There are times in my life, Miss Sarah, when nobody let me down, I just let God down. There are times in my life when I failed him, and I failed. But thanks be to God who lives forever and forever. His grace never failed me. His mercy never let me down. He's been faithful, and even when I failed on my own, he gave me the strength to get back up again. Mephibosheth could have ran on his own. But the nurse chose to pick him up and carry him, and then she dropped him. It is today, please reverence the house of God today. We need to understand that we must be careful, because if we are not, we will let people carry us who have no authority to carry us, who have no authority to carry themselves, that have no authority to carry ministry, because they're up and down and in and out and positive and negative, and there's no consistency to their conversation. Can I tell you that far too many pastors have refused to let believers walk on their own and have carried them too far? And because of that, they have in essence dropped them and crippled them, and they don't have any personal sense of establishing kingdom authority in their own life. Everything about their walk with God is about their relationship with man instead of their relationship with Jesus. And I can assure you this morning, if you'll get right in your relationship with Jesus, things will go much, much better in your relationship with men and women. It must be broken in the name of Christ Jesus right here. If we are not careful, we will function under a pastoral matriarchy. And this mother hen spirit that must hover over us. And the flow and the power of God in his people is interrupted and replaced with an earthly spiritual spirit that we attempt to draw our strength and our power from. Someone else, just do it for me. You don't need me. We are not just a soul. Hear me this morning. We are, but we are not just a soul hospital for the weak and spiritually crippled, but we are a battle camp for soldiers who know how to win in the authority and the power of Jesus Christ the Lord. I am not done. I am not finished. I am not crippled spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, but I am a warrior in Christ Jesus. And I have spiritual authority to conquer in every aspect of my life and my being. My grace, my strength is not of this world. Don't ever act like your own defeat is normal or inevitable. I gave that pastor 15 months. He just treats me like every other pastor. Your defeat is not normal. It's not inevitable. Our failure and our falls are forgivable, but they are not the accepted norm in our lives. If we just move from one sin to another sin to another sin, we are still just living a life of sin. No, no, no. The Spirit of Christ is alive in us. And when He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings in us, we become more like Him and less like the world. Can you hear me today? We are not small. We are not anemic. We have not been run over. But today we charge and we take the victory according to the word of God that is ours. It is an otherworldly power. You can't do it on your own, but it is an otherworldly power. How do you know, Pastor? Because I can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. The word of God tells us that in John 5, that a man has been unable to help himself for 38 years. He sits by the pool waiting for what he perceives to be the right moment and the right time. Those 38 years, that's the exact number of years that Israel was in the wilderness. The word said, stay with me, the word said that an angel stirred the water. That word angel is messenger, and it is pastoral. We have become way too dependent on the messenger or the pastor or the earthly shepherd. But we are to establish kingdom power on our own through the help of the Holy Spirit and God Almighty Himself. If you know Him today, would you lift your hand and thank God that you know Him, that He knows you, and that He is working in your life with authority and power. 2010, Laura Hildenbrand wrote a book called Unbroken. I've read the book and I've seen the movie. And it is the story of Louis Zamperini, who is tested again and again. He is a long-distance runner. He shattered the national high school record in the mile at 4 minutes, 21 seconds. In 1936 at the Olympics, he broke the record for the fastest lap in just 56 seconds. It seemed like the world was his. But he was in service to his country in World War II. And his fearlessness was most noted there. While on a reconnaissance mission, the Green Hornet he was flying in crashed into the sea. He was one out of three out of 11 that survived. He was adrift at sea for 47 days. This was in my notes last week. I thought it was more than ironic that the gentleman I spoke about on Father's Day fell 47 stories. He is adrift for 47 days. During that time, they are attacked by sharks, they are shot at by Japanese warplanes, and they lose half of their body weight. But it was after being rescued by the Japanese that the terror began. Mutsuhiro the bird Watanabe, he was a young corporal, and he begins to single Louis Zamperini out and violently and sadistically torments him. He shoves a stick in his face every day, multiple times a day. He pounds him mercilessly. At one point, the bird ordered that all prisoners are to line up and punch Louis in the face close to 220 times. That's like me calling Brian out and just having half this church today line up and just take their best shot at him. He attempts to break his spirit, to break him down, to make him feel small, to desensitize him and cause a void of hope. When he is transferred, he requests that Louis is transferred with him. And he forces Louis to hold a weighted beam over his head at the threat of death for 37 plus minutes. But Louis Zamperini would not flinch and he would not quit. It's important that you know that Louis Zamperini became an ambassador of the cross, that he became a born again Christian, that gave his life to Jesus Christ. And I tell you, the amazing thing to me is not so much that he survived that. I want you to hear what I'm telling you. This is the spirit of the Hittite and the Perizzite Empire, the spirit that seizes every opportunity to intimidate you and fill you with fear, to anticipate a terrible tomorrow because of sin and desperation that beat you up yesterday. It singles you out and it cripples you with a grasshopper mentality. The spirit that says, worship your fear before you worship your God. That spirit of being small and insignificant. That spirit that says, I always need someone else to carry me. Listen to this. If you keep waiting on someone else to carry you, you will always set yourself up for someone else to drop you. And it just perpetuates itself. I put my confidence in so-and-so, and they drop me. I've been through it before. I've been dropped again and again and again. But Louis Zamperini would not bend to the pressure. He gives his life to Jesus Christ. He actually goes back to Japan and forgives every one of his captors personally and tells them about the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you today, can we celebrate the fact that our God is not a small God, but he is a big God? I refuse to let the enemy think that I will capitulate to being small-minded and less than. How do you know, Pastor? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you can't praise him for anything else, praise him for the promise of his word. Woo. It's one thing if the enemy calls you a grasshopper. It's another thing if you start calling yourself a grasshopper. You will lose the battle. You will lose your fight before you ever begin to fight. But tell somebody right now, I am mighty. Tell them I am more. Tell someone I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can run this race on your own with the help of God. The word tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for Christ's sake, when I am weak, then am I strong. Give me just a few minutes. This is the one I've been pointing to. This is the one I wanted to get to today if I could. The fourth enemy is the spirit of the Girgashite. God deals with these seven spirits to make afraid, phobias, serpents, lies, false sense of reality, small and insignificant. You talk about a spirit that rises up in the church today, in the minds of believers today. It is this spirit right here. Girgashite means clay dweller. It means of the clay. It means earthly. Girgashites focus on temporal things. They disdain, listen, things that are spiritual and eternal. Girgashites deny the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house were dissolved, we have a building not made with hands. It's of God and it is eternal in the heavens. God is speaking truth to us about what is earthly and what is heavenly. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? They are eternal, eternal. Girgashites are infected, and Girgashites will infect the church, and Girgashites will infect you. They focus on things that are visible. The Greek word for seen is blepo. It means to discern mentally. Girgashites are analytical. Their decisions are based upon what their minds perceive. Hear me? In the practical. I believe that you have to be practical, but I believe that as a church, we are in a day, in an age, that if we don't understand that we have to be spiritual, that we have already lost the battle. More than ever before, we've got to have men and women that know how to spiritually discern the spirits of God and know how it is to wage war and to win against everything that the enemy throws our way. Believers are not distracted by what our minds can see, but we focus on what God can do. Believers focus on things that will last forever. Believers discern what is supernatural, and at times, listen to me, they make decisions that are completely illogical. It's like nonsense to other believers who are Girgashites in their heart and their spirit and their life. It doesn't make any sense, but it is God who made it. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:14. Now we have received, 2:12-14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. They are foolishness to him. Neither the man in the natural, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There is a difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of your own mind. Listen, the Girgashite spirit will always brush off what is godly as nonsense. That vision is based on what your mind can conceive and not what God can do. But when you listen to the voice of God, you begin to act according to the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who? Could know it, but he said, we have the mind of Christ. When you operate in the Spirit, you launch yourself into a place beyond criticism. Nobody can say anything that will stop you from accomplishing God's purpose in your life and within the kingdom. If these spirits are real, if these spirits fight against me and fight against the church, how do we overcome this in our lives? Oh, it doesn't really matter. It does matter to God. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitterness and envying and strife in your heart, glory not. It will cause you to lie against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and it is devilish. Pretty strong words by James, the half-brother of Jesus. God wants a meek spirit, a horse that goes where the rider rides it. It's about flow. It's about working together. It's about almost 200 or 200 plus that showed up for Serve Day last year. We worked together. We moved together. It is a willingness to lead and a willingness to be led. It's about the timing of God and not always what makes earthly sense to us. Pastor, I'm just a very practical individual. Listen, God spoke to Gideon and he said, you weed out those that aren't battle ready. No, it's still, it's too many. We, a few more. and they battle 185,000 Midianites. And God gives them the victory and the power to overcome earthly circumstances with heavenly authority. How many of you know today, have you ever been to a place in your life where you saw God move and do the miraculous, and you knew that it could not have happened any other way, Jamie Pounders, had it not been a supernatural experience invoked by a supernatural God who does supernatural wonders in our lives? Amen. Oh, I'm thankful today, but for the grace of God and the mercy of God, I would be lost in it. Matthew 8:28, the word tells us that when Jesus came to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes or the Girgashites, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. They are pig herding, and it is a chief local industry. They are Girgashites. They are clay dwellers. They are earthbound. What do pigs roll in? Pigs roll in the mud. Pigs are fed, and where do they? They look to the ground for their food. Pigs cannot look skyward. The Girgashite spirit keeps you from believing what is heavenly. Those two men are possessed and they are delivered by Jesus. And what happened? The demons flew into the pigs, who are earthly and not heavenly. They run violently down a hillside into the water. They are drowned. A drowned animal is now known as an abomination of blood in the sight and in the presence of all that encounter it. This whole city comes out to meet who? They come out to meet Jesus. But what do, Brian? They beg him to leave. Leave us. Be gone. We are more about what is earthly. We are more about our pig industry than we are about people being set free. How does this benefit me? Not how it benefits the kingdom of God as a whole. It is a Girgashite spirit. The word says this in Numbers 11:4-6. Give me just a few minutes and we'll go home. We're going to have a big party tonight. But the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel wept again, and they said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" We remember the fish. We remember what we ate in Egypt freely. The cucumbers, they weren't free. We were enslaved. Leeks, onions, garlic. But now their soul is dried away. There is nothing at all except for the manna before our eyes. That's heavenly. Sometimes, God, we were enslaved for 430 years. And God, we've been in this wilderness for 38 years. And all we get is this bread from you every morning, every day. And I'm bored, God. Can we just go back to Egypt? At least we were comfortable back there. We knew what we were getting to eat. Sometimes, listen, I want you to hear me today. Sometimes we don't like the package that the things of God may be wrapped in. But it is no less God. It's still God. And the manna that was from above is able to provide every need in your life. Egypt was earthly. Egypt would have kept them from Canaan. That's the Girgashites. It keeps you from being the best that you can be right now because we're so wrapped up in what enslaved us for so many years. And really, even then, it might not have felt like slavery, but it is today because we worship the past more than we worship the God of today. And I'll tie all this together. This is what matters the most. If you don't have the background, it's very difficult to discern and understand what God's saying to us. God always has a perfect plan. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Everything that has to do with the Girgashite people is temporal and ground-bound, but God is eternal, he's complete, and he's perfect. And Jesus said this. You'll say, "Pastor, why have you told us all?" Jesus said, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he said, "It is finished." Girgashites will not look up. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If people start showing up here and all they hear is, I'd rather do it this way, I'd rather do it that way, this just doesn't meet my need, this doesn't do it for me, I like so-and-so, but boy, they get on my nerves. I like this, or I don't like that. If that's all they ever hear, all they're hearing is the same earthly junk that they're hearing out there every day of their lives. But Jesus said, if you'll open He said, if you'll open the doors wide, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Will you join me in that? Will you right now? Will you lift your hands toward heaven right now? And will you just call on the name of Jesus? Will you just lift him up for a moment today? Stand with me all over this house. The Word of God said that Adam, the first man created by God himself, that he was formed from the dust of the ground, Genesis 2 and 7. Adamah is the Hebrew word for ground. Watch this. Do you remember the story of Esau and Jacob? Genesis 25, 29. Esau sells his destiny, his birthright, to Jacob for a clay-colored bowl of pottage. Clay dwellers, earthly. Esau had his mindset on what was temporal and earthly, momentary. He gave his birthright up, his promise up, for a temporary moment to satisfy his own whim. This word is loaded with spiritual principles. He settles on the here and now. Adam gave it all up for what? An apple. An apple. Esau was called Edom. Edom is the same three Hebrew letters as Adam. He sells it all for a bowl of pottage. They were both ground bound. But the last man, Adam, came, and his name is Jesus. He was not formed from the ground up, Brian. He was formed from the Holy Ghost down. And he walked in the power and the Spirit of his Father. And that Spirit is life. And I am no longer an heir of the first man, Adam, and his sin, but now I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And if I leave him on the cross, all I see is the temporal. If I leave him in the earth, if I leave him in the tomb, he is carved into the earth for all of my life. All I can see is the hammer coming down. All I can see are the nails that pierce his hands. But if I get him out of the grave and I get him at the right hand of God, I see him high and lifted up. I see his train fills the temple, and I see him as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings in my life. Now my vision is not limited to a tomb in the ground that is earthly, but now my vision is based on the fact that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father with all authority and power and dominion and might. Amen. Hey. Pastor, what does that mean for me? There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the star, and upon the earth the stress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking on those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things faith begin to come to pass. Then do what? Look up and lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. I tell you today, He is our marvelous hope. He is the Savior of our souls. He is the healer of our illnesses. He is our promise of today and tomorrow, and He will not fail. It is time for the church of the living God to look up and believe that our deliverance is in the Son of the Almighty God. Do you know Him today? If you know Him, lift your hands one more time and praise Him. Hallelujah. Drives me crazy. All we see is Obama and Trump and Biden and Harris and earthly situations and solutions. But I have looked beyond the earth today and to see that my hope is forever sealed at the right hand of the One who will speak and send, and He will return. For those that have conquered every enemy, every source of confusion, that belittles and mocks and makes little and insignificant, and we have put our foot on the head of that snake, the serpent, the enemy, and we have made up our minds that we will live in victory and that the enemy will have no hold and no power over us or in us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to speak to someone this week, someone has made you feel small, attempted to make you feel insignificant. This week, someone has spoken negativity in your life, and you would say, Pastor, I cannot be broken that. I must be stronger. And I need God to touch me and give me strength in this situation, that I will not be talked out of my victory or my place in the kingdom. If that's you, just obey the Lord right now, and would you step to this altar? I won't drag this out. I won't belittle this. I won't drag this out. But if you'll respond, I believe that God will touch you today, and God, you'll see a difference in your life, in your work week, this week. Pastor, I'm tired of seeing myself or others that try to make me feel like I'm less than who and what I was meant to be in Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Step a little closer, if you will. Please don't wait. If you're spiritual, if you're godly, will you give me three ladies at least that'll come just quickly, come stand right behind these that are here. Pastor, I love God with all of my heart, but I struggle with looking down when I know He's called me to look up. You don't know the influences around me. Pastor, you don't know who speaks into my life every day. Because of what I hear in my right ear and my left ear, what sings into my soul and my heart every day. I tend to drop my eyes and I drop my head and I start looking at the way this whole earth looks at the circumstances of life, and I need God to keep my chin up. I need God. To lift me, to help me, that I see things the way the Spirit would enable me to see things and not the voices that are in my head every day, every week, every month. There's still those coming. Let God Speak to your heart today, you. I feel broken this morning. I feel the heaviness and the weight of the Holy Spirit. He wants to heal and he wants to make whole. If it's freedom you want, this is the place. If it's freedom you want, this is the altar. If it's freedom you want, God is here.